Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Great to serve the Lord and to welcome you here tonight. And I have the joy of just bringing a word tonight. We're going to pause our series out of the book of Galatians for good reason, we feel, because the Lord has been really speaking to us over the last several months. And so I have titled this next series, which came out Tuesday night in our prayer, A Season of Humility, Repentance and Prayer. A Season of Humility, Repentance and Prayer. There's several reasons why this is the case and why the Lord has been leading us this way. First of three things is our prayer nights. Over the last 3 months, we have seen this as a particular theme, and you'll see this come up. On the 7th of Feb, we had all these kind of different words for this particular prayer night. The idea of being still, experiencing His love, that our places would be on fire, figuratively. Cleansed, leading to new growth. People who are praying for revival, a fire of the Holy Spirit burning in each of us. Love those kind of prayer times. And then skip over to the 4th of April. It was all about humbling ourselves, being open with God about our confession, not hiding anything in our hearts, but to come before the Lord with a clean heart and so on. Confessing self-reliance and repentance of being so busy in the rush of life. I've got to say, our prayer nights have really set the direction for us as a church right throughout our 10-year history. And so when we hear a word like that multiple times, we sense the Lord is saying something. I went on a personal retreat. This is the second area. Last week, I think it was, 2 weeks ago. And that was the theme the Lord put on my heart personally. And I thought, well, that's where the title came from. And then finally, a book which is entitled The Great Southland Revival. I received this on my 50th birthday 3 weeks ago, and I've been reading that, and it documents the revivals throughout church history, but also especially half the book is dedicated to revivals that have happened here in Australia. And so that's really exciting to read. And this is what the authors say. The humbling of God's people, followed with repentance in prayer, has preceded almost every documented revival. It goes without saying. These are the things that seem to usher in, historically, a move of God. And so I find myself in this season, and I've prayed this, and maybe many of you have prayed this, Lord, I just want a visitation of the Holy Spirit. I want Him to come with power. I want Him to change the minds and the hearts of people all around us. At times it's tough. It's tough. It's really tough ministering. And we're praying that God will actually move by His Spirit. But we've got some work to do in this first area. Okay, so I'm going to read from Daniel 9 in a moment. It's a corporate prayer of repentance. But before I get into that, I just want to unpack these terms, humility and repentance. We've heard them a lot. And it's good for us just to wrestle with those concepts. First on humility. I love the author John Dixon. He says this about the term humility. Humility is the noble choice to forego your status, deploy your resources, or use your influence for the good of others before yourself. More simply, you could say the humble person is marked by a willingness to hold power, not for themselves, but actually in service of others. Another author said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. We have the mindset of where we're thinking of others before even our own interests. And sometimes at the cost of our own expense. That's really a practical look at humility. John the Baptist in John chapter 3 said, when he heard all were going over to Jesus to be baptized, he famously said, He must increase, I must decrease. And that's a real humble example by the John the Baptist, where he wants to see Jesus exalted at the expense of his own ministry. And love that about John the Baptist. Humility means, I always say, means to go south, to go low in God's service and to service of others. All right, so humility, repentance and praying in a move of God's Spirit. Some people look at repentance as a negative. I totally do not see it as a negative. I've seen it as the most positive thing that people can make and do. I feel very opposite about that. It's very freeing, very powerful. And one of Jesus' first messages when he came on the scene is, repent, the kingdom of God is near. And as we've seen people open up their hearts and lives to Jesus and they repent, the kingdom of God does come near, like nothing else. And then we may have thoughts that ask, well, what do we actually need to repent of? And that's a reasonable question. And I'm actually not going to say, because I think it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into those areas of what we need to repent. Repent is this whole idea of changing our mind. Now, I'll just be personal and upfront about this. The Lord has been speaking to me for a year now about lifting my quotient of intercessory prayer. Now, this is not something I'm putting on you. I'm just saying for me personally, it's something he's been speaking to me about. And I haven't done it. I'll be honest with you, I've kind of resisted it and put it off, and I've had different things and so on until 3 weeks ago. And it was a purpose change of mind. It's a repentant act to say, Lord, your way, okay, I will follow. This is a word for me personally. And I've got to say, it's been a super blessing the last 3 weeks. It's been fantastic when we choose to go God's way. Can I say this? We're not seeing God move with total power in our Australian context. We have to be sober about that. We have to acknowledge we're not seeing God move with total power. And I actually believe God does. He wants to. He actually wants to pour out his Spirit, but he's waiting for a people who will say yes and follow him to that. The famous theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, a lack of repentance is the root cause of powerlessness in the church in this materialistic, self-indulgent age. That was written a long time ago. He's an old theologian, 19th century. There can be no spiritual power in a non-repentant church. Interesting, isn't it, when you think about that? And as I've studied repentance in the New Testament, and we look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation, you know, chapter 2 and 3, five of those seven churches Jesus comes to and says, you need to repent. Five of the seven churches, the other two were commended but called to continue to be faithful. So the Lord says something about repentance in his word, New Testament. So this is our key verse that will kind of undergird this whole series. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You want that? I want that. We need that in our day and age. So there's an initial unpacking of the two concepts. I want to move to Daniel 9. Brian, I forgot to ask you before, will you just help us read Daniel 9 as it comes up on the screen? I want to say two things before Brian reads that to us. It really has a lot to teach us about God's heart as we look at this word from Daniel 9. And as is a new practice of mine, I am going to ask you to come up with your own application tonight. And this is how I've framed it. And I'm going to get you to discuss that with someone else here. So the first thing is, what is one action you are going to obey and act upon this week? From hearing God's word, what is the obedient step that you're going to take? And then the second one is, who is one person you will talk about this theme with this week as we share in this way? All right, so let's read the passage. As we read the passage, I want you to notice Daniel's phrase, how many times he says that we have sinned. Thanks, Brian.
In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keeps his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commandments and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done that has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name.
Thanks, Brian. Powerful prayer. Very deep prayer. And I want to share several observations from that prayer just to help guide us through. And I think it gives us an insight into Daniel the person, as well as God's heart, like I said. Daniel's prayer is a prayer of what they call a corporate repentance, or a prayer on behalf of the nation. And it's embedded in two things. Verse 2 said, and if we just bring that up, Brian, the first year of this reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And there's a prophetic word that the prophet Jeremiah gave in chapter 25 of that book. You can look up that later if you really want to. That the 70-year exile and captivity would actually be completed under Babylonian rule back in the day. And what I like about Daniel is he was studying the word. He was studying the word, and he was also marrying the word to his time, and had this wisdom from God for his time, and the Spirit of God was obviously helping him to this understanding. And you'll notice verse 1, which says, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, who was a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. And I like this verse because it's actually in a particular, specific, historical moment that God gives this word. And actually, Daniel prays this prayer. And as I've read this book and I've studied different aspects of revival, it's actually given in a specific location, a specific word, a specific time for a specific set of circumstances. And I like that as I think about that for us. And the verse 3 says, Daniel pleads to the Lord our God in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Now, I won't be getting you to do any sackclothing, all right? So don't worry about that. But this idea of humility, fasting and intercession always go together. And it'd be something for us to consider as we move into this season. Whenever I've raised a topic like this, it's not easy to raise things like this. People have sometimes said to me, why would I need to repent if I consider that I'm doing okay, I'm living a pretty good holy life, and I personally haven't sinned, so on and so on. And it's a reasonable question that people come to me with. And I always come back to Daniel. Now, look at Daniel. He's, for me, one of the most godly men in the Old Testament. And here we see Daniel is actually praying and putting himself with the people to declare that phrase, we have sinned and done wrong. Actually, 17 times he says it. And these were the times that have happened and occurred. He says that we've rebelled, we've turned away, we've not listened, we've covered with shame, and so on and so on. All Israel has transgressed, turned away, refusing to obey you. And it goes on. We've not sought the favour of the Lord. These sort of analogies. We've not made requests because we are righteous. And I love that last verse. Actually, it's because of your great mercy, O Lord. Daniel prays that prayer on behalf of the people. And I think we can begin to pray those sort of prayers on behalf of our suburbs, behalf of our city, our state, and our nation as well, and stand in the gap. So all of this, I hope, sets the tone for the next season for us to commit to being humble, to being repentant, this is the invitation, and to increase in our prayer together and individually. So friends, I want to ask you tonight, and if you're listening online, that you would just take a moment to think about these two questions I shared with you before. What is it, the thing the Lord is saying to you tonight? What does he want you to do? And the first question there is that one action that you're going to obey this week as a result of hearing God's word. And we always like to encourage people to share that with someone else. So I'll give you a few moments. I would love you to just do this with someone else, pray with someone else. Share first and then pray with someone else, and then I'll wrap things up at the end there. All right, let's do that. We'll give you 5 minutes or so. Okay. Can I ask and encourage you, whatever action that you've shared, that you pray for one another through the week in that action, and keep each other accountable as well, and encourage you to follow through. I want to finish with a revival story to try and inspire us what God can do and is doing in different parts of the world. And it was built on that verse that I read before, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which, remember, it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I just want to read this wonderful story of James McCready. I think we've got a photo of him up there, or a portrait. It starts this way. All true spiritual awakenings that have had a lasting effect on local churches, communities and towns have found their start in the same way. Men and women of God encouraging and challenging the body of Christ to surrender to the Holy Spirit's correcting, leading and empowering to pray. One such man of God was the Reverend James McGready, who was a circuit riding preacher who rode on horseback throughout Logan County in Kentucky, 1798. Logan County was inhabited by horse thieves, murderers, highway robbers, and counterfeiters. But he believed that the principles set forth in 2 Corinthians 7:14 were as true in his time as they were when Ezra the priest wrote this passage. He challenged churches to enter into a covenant of prayer and fasting. Those who surrendered to the Holy Spirit's leading covenanted to pray every Saturday, and they devoted every third Sunday of the month to fasting and prayer. It's interesting, isn't it? Only one third Sunday to prayer and fasting, and then one day a week to prayer. It's interesting. They first asked God to search their own hearts and bring them to repentance. A year later, the most daring of sinners attended church service with intentions of disrupting the meeting. I pray for that. I absolutely pray for that. But they found themselves coming to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. With another year of obedient prayer and fasting, the great revival of 1800 was in full swing. The camp meetings became so large that three preachers representing three different denominations were preaching at the same time. Great numbers received Christ and spread to the other cities. What happened to this area where three small churches dared to say yes to the challenge, encouragement, and example of one fiery Presbyterian preacher? Within 3 years, the Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian churches gained 10,000 members each. More importantly, travellers who had been to Kentucky before could hardly believe that they were in the same state. Whereas before, isolation, drunken brawling had been the most memorable aspects of the people who lived there. Now there were churches and churchgoers who looked out for one another, neighbour caring for neighbour. Those who followed after Pastor James McGrady and the congregations he shepherded found them faithfully following the principles set forth in 2 Chronicles 7:14, praying for the lost to come and know Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Too often, it says, churches have replaced prayer and fasting with social Christianity and entertainment. Prayer meetings have become places of petition for personal needs, the sick and the dying, and all those things are essential and important. Too little time is spent on seeking God for a true spiritual awakening. So friends, tonight I'm asking that each of us consider entering unashamedly, unreservedly, wholeheartedly into this season together. Believe God is speaking. So this is a season of humility, repentance, and prayer. It's an invitation. And there will be opportunities to come in the days to follow. We'll put those up in our Signal app and so on. And again, at the action you've taken tonight, can I just impress upon you, just follow through this week on that. See what God does, and we'll see where he leads us. So I've asked the team to sing a song, a beautiful hymn called Refiner's Fire. It's actually a prayer that, Lord, you change our hearts. You would shape us. You would refine us first. And I just want to encourage you to enter into this time. Can we stand together and just sing this song together, and we'll worship the Lord. We just come into this season. We humble ourselves before the mighty God. And Lord, I just pray these next 3 months will be very special in the life of our churches. I pray, Lord, you will speak to us in fresh and new ways. And Lord, help us to move into a deeper place of communion with you. And we set apart this season, Lord, to humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves, you give us more grace. Pour out your grace on each of us. And Lord, you would lead us into all truth, personally and corporately as a church community. And lead us right now. Thank you for this season we have. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.